us. We're continuing to learn about the will of God, God's will for our lives. So far, I'm going to do a little recap here. We've learned about how so often it is the little things that God asks us to do that are the big things that release breakthrough in His miracles in our lives. So often we're hunting and we're hungry for the big thing when God is just looking for the little things. He does the big stuff. He's the big God. As we just faithfully do the little part. We also learned that we are the executors of His will. Literally, the executors of His will. His last will and testament. We are like His ambassadors. We are acting here on the earth on His behalf, representing Him, bringing, even as Jesus taught us to pray, that His kingdom would come and His will would be done here on the earth, even as it is in heaven. And we are the ones whom God has chosen to bring His will to pass. He'll work with us and through us, but He's waiting for us to take the first step of faith. Now, as we build our relationship with Him, He entrusts us with power and with authority. He literally says this. We read this last week. We learned a little bit about it, even Old Testament, even Old Covenant, that whatever we ask in His name, He will give us. And so God is calling us to be like Elisha, like a Joshua that we learned about last week when God answered their prayers because they had such a close relationship with Him that they had His heart. They knew His intent. They knew His motives. They wanted His will to come to pass. So yes, we are absolutely called to obey. We are called to obey. But Jesus is calling us beyond obedience. We are called to serve, but God is calling us beyond mere servanthood. We are called sons and daughters of the Most High, and I always think that's the ultimate fulfillment of identity and purpose. But God is even calling us beyond just children. God is calling us to be friends, to be friends. He wants to be our friend, right? He wants us not just to do what He says, but to understand His heart and His thoughts. He wants us to understand His purpose behind why we do what we do. Obedience is great and it is necessary, but it's easier, at least I found in my own life, it's easier to obey when you understand why you're doing what you're doing. In fact, even in the natural world, sometimes my boss asks me to do something that I don't understand and I don't agree with, and I have to ask, why are we doing it this way? You know, not as like a belligerent, like, this is stupid, but help me to understand. And usually, there's a really good reason not to do it the way I was going to do it. And it's a good thing I didn't act in pride and arrogance and go my own way. And if that's the case in the natural world, how much more true is it in the kingdom of God? Even when He calls us to do things that make no earthly sense, He has a purpose behind it. So ask Him. This will keeps the motives behind what we do pure, holy, godly. Jesus said in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What is the other difference that Jesus calls out behind a friend, a child, and a hired hand? If you're a hired hand and you've been hired to watch the sheep, this is the instance that Jesus gives because that's what they knew in that day, and the wolf comes barreling in, guess what? I'm done with this. I'm going. See ya. But a child, when those are his father's sheep, he'll be like David, who with his bare hands took down the bear and wolf whenever they tried to come after his father's sheep. Wasn't having that. That's the difference. How quick are we as Christians to bail on our Father because things get tough, because there's opposition? And we, trust me, the enemy will give you all the scriptures you need to back up your stance, you know? We talked about that. Sometimes the door is closed, not because God has closed it, but because there's an enemy in there that's yours. You need to kick that stinking door down and take back what is yours. Get rid of the enemy that's on your promises. And it takes discernment to know which is which. Which is a door that the Father has sealed, and you just need to let it go. And which is a door that the enemy has put up. We learned about this from Israel's history, right? The promised land. God purposefully allowed the enemies to be on his promises so that they would maintain it, so it would continue to be a blessing. But that wasn't his will, that they would stay there forever. So they had some kicking out to do. All right, so during his time on earth, Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to the towns ahead of him, and he said in Matthew chapter 10, as you go, well, first of all, I'm going to start in verse 1, Jesus called the 12 disciples to him, and he gave them, okay? God does never tell you to do something that he will not provide for and equip you for. He called his 12 disciples to him first. It all starts in his presence. It all starts in the presence of God. And then Jesus gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every sickness and every disease. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. So he gave them authority and he gave them instructions. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And here's the part we love to remember, and it's an important one. Freely you have received, freely give. It's that cliche that is true. We are blessed to be a blessing. Whatever God has entrusted to us, it's not really for us. It is to give out to others. It is to give out to others. So what did Jesus' 12 disciples do in response to what Jesus called them to do? Well, I'm going to go to Mark this time. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. He told them to go do something. They went out and they did it. He accompanied them with signs, wonders, and miracles. After the resurrection, Jesus again appeared to his disciples. And he said, and this is one we're familiar with, right? The Great Commission in Matthew 28. I'm going to quote there first. Then Jesus came to them and he said, anybody know? All authority in heaven and earth. That's a lot of authority. I can't think of any authority that doesn't fall under one of those categories, in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. I'm sorry, I'm gonna call on you guys a lot because it's feeling like another dry Sunday. I don't like those. I like us to be awake and engaged and aware. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And of course, you're in a Pentecostal church. Come on. You've got to remember what Mark told them too in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. So you see how this Great Commission is expanded now, not just to those 12 disciples, but to everyone who believes. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And when they drink deadly poison, it won't harm them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. What is the will of Jesus? Well, he just said a whole bunch of it right here, right? Of course, this is November, and what holiday here is in November? So what is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? To give in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. You guys know it. Then it says in verse 19, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and seated at the right hand of God. The disciples then went back home, kicked back in the lazy boy, and called it a day, right? No. They went out. They went out. And they preached everywhere they went. And the Lord worked with them. And the Lord confirmed his word by signs and miracles that accompanied them. How much fun is that? That's church. That's church. Jesus said, now go. Keep doing what I was doing. And he works together with us. We are not alone. He is with us. It's not us doing it. It is us trusting that he will do what his word said. If we do our part, God is faithful and will do his part. We've been so richly blessed, haven't we been? I say this to my wife all the time. Like, we are spoiled children of God. So richly blessed. I mean, my goodness, our problems are not problems at all. My goodness. All that Jesus asks of us is that we would freely give what he has richly blessed us with. And the cool thing is, whenever you're faithful with little, you're given more. And it's not just about material things. That's not the context. The most important things in this world are not material things. Ask anybody on their deathbed. Bless you. The regrets that they have, it's not usually, man, I wish I would have got that bigger truck. You know, man, I wish I would have gone there or done that. You know, it's usually I wish I would have spent more time with my family. Man, I wish that, you know, this relationship wasn't busted right now. I wish this, you know. Those are the important things in life, and those are the kingdom work. Healing and restoring relationships, binding up the broken, breaking off yokes of oppression, deliverance. That's the work of the kingdom. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Does God hold anything back from us? Every heavenly blessing is ours. It's yours. Yours for the taking and yours for the giving. I love our abundant Father. He holds nothing back. You know, there's no part of the kingdom of God that you can walk into and the Father's like, what are you doing there? What do you think you're doing? Why are you grabbing that? And my kids know that's how our household operates. You go wherever and get whatever. I don't care. That's what it's there for. That's what I always say, right? You know, that's what it's there for. Take it. You need it. Grab it. For he chose us. Oh, think about this reality, okay? He chose us in him before the creation of the world. He chose you. Before the creation of the world, he figured the world needs a whoever. The world needs a you, exactly the way that you are. Well, without the sin, but, you know, the way he created you to be. He needs you. He chose you before the creation of the world, but he chose you to be holy and blameless in his sight. In his love, he has predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, not just his will, but his pleasure, what pleases the Father. Do we think about things that way? Is it just doing what God wants to do, or is it wanting to bless our dad because of how awesome he is and how much he has blessed us? You know, do we just want to bless the heart of our Father? That's where he wants us to be. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one whom he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding. I love that word that Sharon shared this morning. He gives us all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. You need it, he'll give it to you. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his own good pleasure. God wants to reveal his will to you. It's for his own pleasure. It makes him happy to reveal his will to you. Why am I the way I am, God? Well, let him tell you. Put a smile on his face. To make known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. Again, the time, perfect timing of God. But I'm telling you, now is the time. Now is the time. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen. We have been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity with the purpose of his will. There's a lot of thick doctrines here and some doctrines that get taken a little too far, but hang in here with me. God chose us, predestined us, according to his plan, and he works everything out into conformity with the purpose of his will. Even your bonehead mistakes when you've blown it, it's not too far gone. He can work that together and conform it into his will. He can do that. There's nothing he can't do. In order that we, who are the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise and of his glory. And you also were included with Christ when you heard the message of truth. And that's all of us. We were included in Christ when we heard the message of truth and we responded to the gospel of his salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When did you receive the Holy Spirit? It just said, when you first believed. Yeah, when you first believed. As soon as you put your faith in Christ, you receive the initial deposit of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but there's room for so much more. Infilling, overflowing, baptism. Woo! All right, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. That phrase is used, I think, three or four times there, to the praise of his glory. Break apart some of these things. And sometimes we just need to stand in the mirror and tell these things to ourselves. This is what God's word, according to Ephesians chapter 1, in these few verses, says about you. You were chosen before the creation of the world. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your conception were. God chose you. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means you have everything you need. You don't have lack. You have an abundance. You may just need to be calling it in because it's not manifesting itself here yet. But you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's holding nothing back from you, okay? We lie to ourselves and we say, well, man, this is just God's punishing me because of my sin and he's going to withhold this. No, our Father withholds no good thing from his children. He doesn't punish you by withholding things. He just doesn't. Sometimes I wish that he would, because anyways, that's another message for another time. But he doesn't. He doesn't hold back. You are destined as a legal child of God because you have been adopted by him. You've been adopted into his family. You have been freely given glorious grace. You have been forgiven and redeemed by his blood. So stop beating yourself up. If Jesus has already forgiven you, forgive yourself. Come on, stop beating yourself up. It's time to move forward. Brush off the dust of the past. Because guess what God's able to do with your past? He's able to, I'm sure we're going to get down here, work everything together in conformity with the purpose of his will. Okay? You didn't blow it. He's like, okay, that's just another happy little tree. You know, if we're going to Bob Ross this thing. We're just going to work it together. It's not a mistake. We're just going to work it together. And it's going to maybe be made even better. Even more beautiful. It's just another crack that we're going to fill it in with some, you know, good stuff, some gold. We are lavished. I love that word that he uses. And it's the best English translation that there is, to lavish abundantly with the riches of his grace. We have been given all wisdom and all understanding. We have been given the mystery of his will. It has been revealed and made known to us. We don't have to wonder what God's will is for our lives. I don't know why that's always such a tripped up question. He makes it very clear to us. We have been marked and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Whew. You're not, oh my goodness. I mean, go back to Cain and Abel. Whenever Cain went and beat the crap out of him and killed Abel, I mean, what did God do? Cain's like, someone's going to kill me. And God's like, nah, I'm going to mark you. No one's going to mess with you. No one's going to touch you. That's the goodness of our Father. When Adam and Eve sinned, who chased after who? Adam and Eve didn't chase after God for forgiveness. God chased after Adam and Eve and covered their sin and shame, made a sacrifice. That is our Father. That is our Father. Think about the prodigal son. What did the father do when the prodigal came home? All right, boy, time to earn my trust. Okay? All right, let's see if you really changed. No! He's like, come on! Let's get that fattened calf. cut that thing up, butcher it, let's have a party here. My son's back. That's the heart of our Father. It's the heart of our Father. That's His heart for you. That's His heart for you. God's will. How awesome is our God that does all these things for us? It was enough that He lived a sinless life, that He took on the cross and paid the price for our sin, and then freely gives that away. It's enough that He freely gives us the gift of salvation. I mean, just getting out of hell and not having to pay the punishment for my sin, that is abundant enough. That is enough. But God says, oh no. No, I'm giving back everything that the enemy stole. It's not enough that you are just forgiven of your sin. I'm going to lavishly pour out my grace. I'm going to thoroughly equip you to do my will. You are going to live your best life from this day forward. You're going to live a full and an abundant life. You're going to enjoy this life that I have given you. My goodness. How and why would we hold anything back from a God that views us that way? But we do, and I'll confess, I've done it. But He held nothing back for our sake. So what is His will for us? What did Jesus first ask every one of His disciples? What was His invitation to them? Follow me. He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father in victory over sin, shame, even death itself. His heel might be bruised, but He stomped on the head of that serpent, the devil, Satan. He knows what His destiny is. Hell was created for Him. He's going to get bound up and cast there forever. Come on. And you and I, children of God, those who have chosen to receive His salvation, we remind Him of that. There's no salvation available for Him, but there is for us. That's why He hates you so much. That's why He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus still opens that invitation to every single person. It is God's will that all would repent and receive His salvation. But then Jesus says this in John chapter 12, verse 16, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. You guys know that song, that where I am, there you may also be. That's where it comes from, right there. That we would walk together, keeping in step with the Spirit, so that the Son and the Father's will can be done and accomplished. Following Jesus into the lives of the broken to release wholeness. Following Jesus into the lives of those who are bound to release freedom. Following Jesus into the lives of the grieving to release some comfort. Following Jesus into the lives of the sick to release healing. Following Jesus into the lives of the discouraged to release some hope, a living hope. Following Jesus and His example that He lived for us. He is not asking any of us to do anything that He did not first do Himself, right? He did it, and He did it in this flesh, so that we are without excuse. If Jesus did it, so can we. That the same Spirit that equipped and enabled Him to do all of those things, He poured out into our lives. So that we can too. So we can do everything He did and even greater things. And the cool thing is we don't have to go very far to figure out God's will or to find those people. I mean, right? There's probably people that came to mind. They're pretty hurt, broken, really needing Jesus right now. The lost are all around us because Jesus has intentionally placed you where they are. So that He could be where they are. Because where you are, there He will also be. We are carriers of the presence of God. Wherever we go, the Spirit goes too. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, we're warned about that. Like, don't be going and getting together with no prostitute. I mean, it's not right to unite the Holy Spirit with, you know, we're warned about that. Wherever you go, you carry the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. I'm going to actually be quoting about that here in just a minute. Yeah. Well, not exactly about that, but yeah. It's good. It's true. It's not accidental. God has a purpose for you to be connected with those people. Believe that God wants to do something in and through your life. And stop using excuses. There's no excuse that can stand whenever we're standing before Christ and we answer for the choices that we made in this lifetime. It may all sound like too grand of a task for us, because it absolutely is. We can't do it. But through Christ, who gives us strength, we can endure all things. We can go around, you know, lonely and naked and hungry and well-fed and well-clothed. We can endure any circumstance through Christ who strengthens us. We can't do it. We can't heal the sick. We can't give hope. We can't give comfort. But Jesus can through us. He will freely give us whatever we need to freely give away to others. It's not for us to do, it's for Jesus to do through us. We simply need to position ourselves in faith. That means we have to step out of ourselves so that it cannot be us, it can only be God. And that's when he acts. Jesus ended the Great Commission by reminding us that he will be with us always, even to the very end of the age. In fact, the Lord reminded his people through Moses, even under the old covenant. He said, now what I'm commanding you to do today, it's not too difficult for you. Have you ever read the law? Let me tell you, that's difficult. I can't keep it. That's why Paul said, you know, the law's good, but it brings death, because there ain't nobody fulfilling it, okay? We're all guilty of it. It's good, but I'm not, because I can't fulfill it. But even after God gave the law, he said, what I'm commanding you to do today, it's not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven that you have to ask, who's going to ascend into heaven and get it and then proclaim it to us so that we can obey it? No, and it's not out beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who's going to cross the sea to get it and to proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart so that you may obey it. This is old covenant. Imagine how much truer this is under the new covenant. When the Holy Spirit's no longer sitting in there on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, can only hang out with one guy once a year, the Holy Spirit is in all of us. We are temples. How much truer is it that we can't obey it? That his word, it's in our heart, it's in our mouth. It's not far from us and it's not too hard for us. We can do this. We can follow Jesus' example. We can seek and save the lost the way that he did. It's not too difficult for us. It's not beyond our reach. We can allow the love and the power of God to flow through us through the Holy Spirit. God is simply looking for the willing. God is simply looking and searching for a people who live in humble surrender to him. Less of me and more of you. We have a boldness and we have a confidence, but it is not in ourselves. It is in Jesus Christ alone. It's not about us. It's about those who Jesus wants to reach through us. We're not trying to build up a reputation. We're not trying to build up a resume. We're not looking for titles. We're not looking for positions. We don't care if anybody knows our name, but we do care that they know the name above all names. The only name that can release healing and salvation and freedom. We're simply in awe of what Jesus has done for us, and we want everyone to have that same encounter with the one true living God. We've tasted and seen how good God truly is, and we want them to have a bite too, right? When a new restaurant comes to town and it's awesome, you tell everyone about it. You got to go check this place out, you know? It should be no different than the kingdom of God. You got to check this guy out. Try Jesus. Give him a try. What do you got to lose? Because the Bible says all who call on the name of Jesus, they'll be saved. Those who call on him for help, they will be rescued. I mean, what does anybody have to lose by just, even if you don't think the dude exists, Jesus, take care of this, please. Do you think he won't prove himself to those who doubt? Whew. It's fun when Jesus starts to do stuff like that. Paul wrote, and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to end in the last, because we put in chapters and verses. I'm going to actually start the very last verse of chapter 2 and go into chapter 3. Paul said, unlike so many, we don't peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those who are sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Do we need, like some people need, letters of recommendation to you or from you? No, we don't want anything from you. We want to give to you. We don't want to take from you. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Think about your life that way. You are a love letter from God, and people are reading your life. Please let them see your flaws. Please let them see the mistakes of your past. Don't hide them in pride. They give more glory to God because of what he can do in and through your life than your highlights and your grandiose moments in life where you actually achieve something. Your lows, they give glory to God all the same. That's why God made sure in his word, he recorded everyone's failures and successes. Everyone who did anything significant for God, guess what? They made some pretty bad decisions beforehand. And God made sure his word records them all. Don't be afraid. Let people see your weaknesses, because it is through our weaknesses that we show that Christ is our strength, right? Paul went on and he said, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. Our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, it's so easy for us to get caught up in our own lives because we are busy. We got stuff to do. It's so easy for us to get so caught up in ourselves that we miss out on the more significant purpose that our lives possess. We make an impact on those around us. Your friends, your families, your schoolmates, your coworkers, your neighbors. My goodness, even the people walking through Walmart. They make an impact. You make an impact on each other. Whoever you are around, whoever you spend time with, we have the very presence of God dwelling within us, for whom nothing is too hard for. The same Spirit that rose Jesus' body from the grave lives in us. We don't just have hope. We have a living hope in Christ, a living hope. No matter how dire the circumstances, no matter how bad things may seem, God is able. He's able. He alone can work miracles as we surrender our lives and our circumstances into his hands. He alone is able to work all things together for good, all things together into conformity with his purposes and with his will. The invitation is open to all the living. If you draw another breath, God's not finished with you yet. He hasn't given up on you yet. He still has things he wants to do and accomplish in and through your life. Jesus is calling out. He is reaching out an invitation to us into an abundant life. He is able to forgive and heal and restore and reconcile anything and everything to him if we surrender it to him, if we leave it in his hands. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing he cannot do. Whew, how great is our God, right? No matter how bad the circumstances, that invitation is open. The question is, will we follow him? The Bible begins in the garden, and it ends in a garden. It starts with man sinning against him, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there was another tree, remember? You guys remember what that tree was? The tree of? anybody know? The tree of life. The tree of life. And God's like, they can't eat from this thing. You know why? Because if they sinned and they ate from the tree of the life in their sinful condition, no salvation, no hope available. They would spend eternity that way. So he put up that flaming sword with the cherubim so they couldn't get to the tree of life. But if you flip ahead to the end of the book, Revelation chapter, anybody know the last chapter? 22. There's one after 21. So close. Jesus says, hey, remember that tree? Come and eat from it. Now that you've been forgiven, now that there's nothing between you and I, we're going to make this thing permanent. Eat from the tree of life. Whew, can't wait for it. Revelation 22. Sorry. Look, Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, anyone and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And then you take a look at the world around us, you know. I mean, my goodness, magic is everywhere. It's being embraced. Sexual morality, it's everywhere. Why do you think the devil wants you to embrace these things? To keep you out. Because he's been kicked out and he doesn't want you to be there. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you all this testimony for the churches. Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears that call say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. It's an invitation. It's an open invitation to anybody and everybody. And Jesus wants us to extend that same invitation to those around us. Just come. Give Jesus a try. Give him a try. See what he can do. In fact, let's try right here and right now. Right, pray with the person. Lay hands on them if they're sick and pray for them. See if God heals and restores them. I've seen it happen. And I've seen it not happen. But I've seen it happen. And so I want to see it more. Ah, see what God can do when we just let him be God in and through our lives, right? Just open the invitation to those around us. That's all that Jesus did. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he's called you and I to go out into all the world. And as you're going, invite them on in. Give them that invitation. Whatever you have received, freely give away. Trust the Lord to fulfill his word. It's not you, it's who you represent. You're an ambassador. You don't have the power and authority, but Jesus does. And he wants to cooperate through you so that his power and authority and the fullness and abundance of his kingdom can flow through us into the lives of others. And it's for his pleasure. He loves it. He gets a kick out of it. He has a good time. It's fun ministering in the kingdom of God. It's fun seeing God confirm his word with signs, wonders, and miracles. He's promised to do it. Let's expect him to. Let's expect him to. Right? Let's give him the opportunity to actually do what he promised to do. Let's step out in faith. And so let's just close in prayer here. So, Jesus, open my eyes to the opportunities around me. Forgive me for getting so busy that I fail to see the people around me who are hurt and lost. The people around me every day that are there because you've placed me there with them. Holy Spirit, show me what to do. Guide me and lead me so that I can follow you into their life and bring them into an encounter with you. Invite them into your presence that you can do in their lives what you promised you would do, to bring comfort and healing and restoration. Lord, to quench their hunger and thirst with good things that lead to life. Forgive me, Lord, for getting so caught up in myself that I fail to see those around me. Jesus, you said if I put your kingdom first, you'd take care of mine. Everything else would be added to us. So Jesus, this morning, I humbly lay down my life. My cares, my worries, concerns, anxieties, fears, I lay them all down at your feet. And I want to follow you. I want to follow you wherever you lead. I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, God, because they point in an undeniable way to you. Thank you for what's going to happen this week as I watch your kingdom be unfurled and unleashed in and through my life. Can't wait for the testimonies to come, Lord. I know it's going to be a good one, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. And if you are in need of prayer or word of hope or encouragement, you know, altars are always open. Come on forward. We're going to stand with you and believe with you and pray with you. All right. So be blessed and have fun out there this week.